Is this on our overhead? We're coming.
It is page one.
Thank you. 101. I'm sorry. It is one. Which way do I go in the book? Here it is. First page. Let's stand, please.
My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves, it is my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him, He'll never cast me out. A single letter of the gun, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood.
Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for the beautiful day, for the opportunity, Lord, to come to Your house today to worship You. Thank You, Lord, for the folks that showed up, the good week we've had, Lord. You kept us safe. You provided for us. You do it all day after day, Lord, but thank You so much for it. We thank You for the great country that we live in, Lord. We know it's many problems, Lord. We pray today, Lord, that our leaders might look to You, Lord, for the answers they need in guiding our nation. We pray for our military, Lord, wherever they are today. I just ask You to guide and direct, keep them safe, Lord, most of all, and get them back home to us again soon. Thank You for my pastor, Lord, the work that he does here for our church and for You, Lord. I pray today, Lord, You'd empower him, whatever You've laid in his heart, that it might speak to each and every one of us, Lord. And if someone needs to get right, Lord, today, that person would do so before they leave. Thank You, Lord, for the time of fellowship that we had this morning, Lord, before our service. It was just great, Lord, to see people just talking with each other, a handshake or two, Lord, whatever. I pray that others will come in and get involved with it, Lord, and just get comfortable with each other, Lord, more than anything. Bless this time to come, Lord. Thank You so much for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. You ready, honey? His mercy is more. I need just a little bit.
What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy.
so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. What riches of kindness He lavished on us. His blood was the payment, His life was the cost. We stood beneath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord.
Let's see, announcements next. Okay. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to continue our Way of the Masters. You're missing out on that, folks. You're missing out on something big there. There will be a business meeting on the 14th. We have unfinished business from our quarterly meeting. We just want to get that taken care of quickly. Check with Autumn or Sondra on the women's Bible study dates. Check with Pastor on the Wilton Bible study dates. Iron sharpens iron, the 20th at 8:30. Personal evangelism, the 9th and 23rd. Trustee and deacon meeting on the 18th, the thought for the week from our pastor. God's design and plan for the church works well if the people will follow it. Guys, you come forward, we'll take up the morning offering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for the beautiful day and the opportunity to be here today, Lord. Thanks for the opportunity, Lord, to fellowship with each other while we're here, Lord. Help us now, Lord, as we're about to fellowship in your word. Guide and direct, Lord, our service today and later, Lord, as we contemplate what our Savior did for us, Lord. Help us to remember, Lord, while we partake of the elements today. Help us, Lord, to search our souls. Thank you for this time, Lord, now. Just be with the gift and givers as we take up this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, ladies. Sharon's going to sing for us now. Thanks, Aunt.
Okay. The Lord has laid this song in my heart. I've sang it in my sleep. I wake up singing it, and it's the only song that he gave me this week. And you know, for no other reason, if I didn't come because I love the Lord, I'd come because of the people here that I love. And I love each and every one of you. But this song says it all. Somebody loves me. I'm in love with my Savior, and he's in love with me. He is with me from day to day. What a friend is he. Watches over me while I sleep. Hears me when I pray. I am happy as I can be, and I now can say, somebody loves me, answers my prayer. I love somebody, I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, then I know he's mine. You'll be happy if you will let Jesus have his way. He has work for us all to do every passing day. Feed the hungry and cheer the sad, for the sinner pray. You'll have joy that you never had, and you then can say, somebody loves me, answers my prayer. I love somebody, and I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know he's mine. Then at last, when our work is done, he will call us home to a mansion he has prepared, never more to roam. We'll sit down by the riverside, cares all pass away, and with never a pain to bear, what a happy day. Somebody loves me, answers my prayer. I love somebody, and I know he cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know he's mine.
Did this one on Kim at 4:30 this morning. I woke up and took a look at the phone and looked at the National Weather Service, and I see we were under purple. And Kim is not very happy when I wake her up about things like that, but I said, I think maybe Tuesday it'll be an Ed Sullivan kind of a day. Now, are you ready to laugh? I already pulled this one on Bob. We've had a really big shoe, big snow for you. Yeah. Anyway, I saw 8 to 12 around here. Is that what you've heard too? Yeah, but you know what? God is so good. Look how he's given us most of the winter. Warm temperatures. You know what? It'll all be fine. And one thing about it, when you see that white snow, just think about how Jesus cleanses our sins. Whiter than snow through his precious shed blood. Yeah, there is children's church this morning. If you're young enough, I think they'll take people up to 80 down there. So if you're above that, it may be questionable, but yeah, we're glad for that today. It is good to see a nice group out today, and I want to welcome you. We're thankful for anyone that's visiting with us. You're always welcome at Fruitland. And one thing that you need to always hold accountable at Fruitland is that we need to look into the Word of God, because that's what's going to change us and transform us. And so when we come here, not only to worship God, but to be challenged and to You know, you may not agree with everything, but hopefully what's done here at Fruitland is a basis or a platform for thought and discussion in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So anyway, I welcome you on that basis. It's good to have everyone that's here, and we always are missing people on any given Sunday, but we pray and we know that there are people that are struggling. Well, the message title, oh, by the way, Wilton Bible Study is scheduled for this Thursday night, 6 o'clock in the Presbyterian Church basement, and something else on there. What? And this is not Deb's fault. This is, we just didn't get the time set. Something else on there that was, obviously, personal evangelism, if we get 8 to 10 inches. So, you know, call before you come if it's 12 at least. So, anyway, it'll be fine. God will see us through this, but it's a great day to come and just to be with Him today, centered in His Word, and have this time to celebrate what He did for us on the cross. The title of the message today is the local church a priority in your life? And I'm going to spend a day or two, in a sense, a week or two, talking about the Lord's church and what a precious thing that is, how much He loves us. Sharon, you didn't plan this because you knew what I was preaching on. God sets all this up. But it's His love. That's why we're here, folks. And He wants us to love others because of the love He's had for us. So that's the basis of that. So to begin with this morning, let's just bow our heads in a moment of silent prayer as we adjust our hearts again and let Him know that He is worthy. That's what worship's about. If you love Him this morning, tell Him. And if you're struggling today, tell Him. And ask Him to draw your heart to Him today as we look into His Word. This is His love letter to mankind. That's the Bible. So anyway, I welcome you on that basis. Let's just take a few moments now to quietly approach the throne of grace and mercy, and then I'll follow with a short pastoral prayer, and we'll get into the Word. Lord God, as we come to You today as the local church assembled together, Lord, for many purposes that You've instituted it, Lord, we are to be again the pillar and ground of the truth. We're to be a truth-proclaiming group of people. Lord, we're here to fellowship one with another, to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill Your law. Lord, we're here to be challenged. We're here to be edified today. But this all is about You today, Lord. But indirectly, it's about all of us because You love every person. You love every soul. I just heard the little baby here. Lord, that touched my heart. By the way, Lord, I'm glad for everyone here. And I know You are too. And I think it's great when a baby comes and cries in church. Because that reminds us, Lord, of new life. Lord, we also acknowledge today that You are indeed an awesome God. And we want to let You know that today as we worship You, Lord. Hopefully, truthfully from our hearts that we understand that and know it. But Lord, I just am thankful for everyone that's come through the doors. And let this be known that there are answers here, there is love here, and Lord, You're here. And so we thank You for that today. When two or more are gathered, You're there present with us. We thank You today for the ministry work and advocacy of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead that indwells the believers. And so today we thank You, Father God, for Your providential care for us and the work through Your Son and through the Holy Spirit that becomes real in our lives. Lord, as we acknowledge that this morning, we know we're missing people. Lord, we're missing a whole community. Now, that's not to say that others are not believers here in Fruitland. They are, and they do go other places to fellowship. But many of our community may not know You, Lord. We want to be that lighthouse here today that shows the light of the world, who is Jesus. So I pray today, Lord, that that'll be affected in our hearts. You've given us work to do, Lord, but a labor of love, not a labor of drudgery. And today, Lord, salvation is available to all. If there is one in our number today, you again, if you call them today, Lord, and they receive you, trust you, Lord, for salvation, they'll be made into a new personality in you, Lord, a born-again person. We're changed, transformed, Lord, through your power and your love for us. We thank you for that opportunity and that potential and possibility here today. Now, Lord, as I speak this, I realize there are some in our number who are ill. There are some that are hurting. Lord, there are difficulties because we live in a broken world. And, Lord, we cannot even begin to know what are things that are on the hearts and minds of the people both here and not here today. But I know this, Lord, that you will draw near to those, your word says, that draw near to you. And so may that be the case today, Lord, for whatever ill ails us. Whether it be spiritual or physical, Lord, we come to you today as the great physician. Now, Lord, we thank you for your institution of the church today. And as we take a brief look into that and our response to it, Lord, how we approach it, we ask that you'd open our hearts and minds, and then we look forward to celebrating here, Lord, at the end of the service, what you did in the accomplishments on Calvary's cross of when you took the penalty of death for our sin and then shed your blood to wipe out the penalty of our sin, Lord, so that when your Father looks at us and your blood has been applied, he sees white as snow. That's what you did for us, Jesus, and we'll remember that today in a vivid way. Now, Lord, as you know, all the time, you got a fool standing up here today. So, Father, I need your help. Every time I handle your word, my knees knock, my hands shake. And, Lord, I just pray today that you'll see me through another go-around here of preaching the word. And I know it is only by your help and your grace and the power of the Spirit that it is accomplished. Now, Lord, we give this time to you for however you may see fit to use it. And I ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends in Christ, as we begin the new year, and I can't believe how fast this has all come about us again. And can you believe already it's the 7th? Of 2024. Can't even believe. It is the 7th today. That's right. But I've had this leading for quite a while to preach about the church. And not necessarily Fruitland Baptist Church, but yes, in particular, a part of that, but the church in general, so that we know what it is, that we know what our part in it is, and how we can respond to it in the local sense. Anyway, it's God's institution that's known as the church. By the way, folks, you've heard this before from a lot of people that preach, and they're not wrong. A church is not a building, okay? A church is made up of believers, and we'll define that more clearly as we go through our text today. But the church is about people. It's about God's people and the mission that he sent us for. We do meet in a building here at Fruitland, for which I am thankful. I know that the attendance would be lower if we were outside today, especially without heat. Kim has a pair of heated gloves. She has them plugged in for her days at school when she goes out with the kids at recess. But folks, we have a nice accommodation here where we can meet together. The building is a identity point for Fruitland Baptist Church. But the people, God's people, are what is important here. And people in general, because people are all important to God. You've heard that before. The church belongs to Jesus. Never forget that. And the people that make it up are the ones that Jesus belongs to. Consider that. It is the Lord's contention, and I agree with the Lord on this, that the church is the most important earthly organization that exists. Well, Pastor John, what about any other given organization that I might be involved in or think about being involved in? There's a lot of things I could belong to. We took our grandson Eli over to Dixon. We meet with his folks to transfer him back when he stays from Chicago, Dixon, Illinois. And we went through, what's the road over there in Bettendorf, Kim? The new sports center on the south side of the interstate there. TDK Sports Center. Alicia, good. You're on top of things, Alicia, see? Like I told you this morning, I tell you what, I'm praying for Alicia. I think about her when we took a youth trip. How many years ago was that, Alicia? 20 years or more out to Utah when she was just a... Yes, she did. I thought she went to Utah. Well, then my thinking's all messed up. Now, what was the point of that? We had such a good time. Well, we'll have to argue about that later, because I thought she was... Huh? I think maybe I need to just sit down for the rest of the day. We've had some good times, some of us, right? Yeah. That's all part of the church. Now, what was that? Oh, I told Kim, and I'm not here to criticize anyone, but, you know, there's a lot of people, every hour they have available, every weekend, every minute, they're going to have their kids and themselves involved in that institution, okay? But you know what, folks, when you really stop and think about it, there's nothing that compares to the Lord's church. It's the big kahuna, folks, and always has been since it was instituted. And that's something to think about. How do you approach that? Is church an afterthought? The workings of the church an afterthought, or is it a priority? That's the whole point of these messages. Anyway, excuse me. I did wake up at 4 this morning with a... I knew I shouldn't have shaken hands with Kay Wednesday night. She warned me. No, I don't think that's what it was. But there's a lot of stuff floating around, isn't there? Yes, there is. Anyway, the church is the most important earthly organization that exists. So I'd like you to turn your scriptures this morning to Matthew chapter 16. We've got to do a little turning today. And we're going to ask some things this morning and try to answer some questions. And the key thing is that I ask us is, why are so many people not a part of the church? Well, if I open the floor, we'll do that one of these Sundays. By the way, come to our new Sunday school class, too, if you have questions. It's a great opportunity. Anything can be laid on the table. Very, very, very open class. But I think if you were to survey people, most people have had a bad experience with a church. You agree with that this morning? We've had those things here at Fruitland. We just have to lay it on the line. The church is a very rough place. But you know what? Everything's rough. Alicia, I think if you went up to TDK Sports Center, there'd be trouble there. Don't you think? Yeah. I mean, I used to referee, not umpire is the word, T-ball. When our kids were little, 35, 40 years ago. Not 40. 35 would be more accurate. And I'm umpiring this game, and I have people screaming at their kids, and I knew them, and I turned around, I said, you never even played sports in school. So, shut your mouth. Everything you deal with. Len, did you have trouble with an engine yesterday? You're going to have trouble in church. It's a given, because you know what the church is made up of? The church is made up of saved sinners. And as long as we draw breath, we're going to struggle with our flesh and with sin. But the point is, folks, we can't just throw the baby out with the bathwater, because this is not all about us. It's about Him. And He loves His church. He wants us to stick together and to work through the things that we encounter. That's what God's will is for the believers. Now, with that said, there are times we do have to separate. We need to separate over incorrect doctrine that cannot be corrected in a church. Okay? But that is not the first thing to walk out the doors. The first thing is to try to fix it and to love each other and to see it corrected. Anyway, Matthew 16, 18. Well, what else did I want to say here? Why are so many people not a part of it? Number one, there's a lot of people out there that are not saved. You know, the Bible talks consistently about God's people as a remnant. A remnant, by its very definition, is about 10%. I think that that is probably a very good number when we think about it. And I think someone brought that kind of up in a class this morning there. It's very few people that are saved in comparison to the whole culture. Where do you and I am a professed believer in Jesus Christ. I've been saved by grace through faith. But I ask us all here today to review that. Are you a part of His church? And it's very simple. And we'll talk about the two components of the church here in just a minute. But to become a part of His church, in the large sense, is by trusting in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be rescued. You will be saved from the destruction that's headed for humanity. Anyway, the reasons are many that people are not a part of the church, and sometimes even believers choose to withdraw from Christ's organization as the church. I'm not one of those folks. I think that we need to stay and work and accomplish what Jesus has for us to do, trusting Him for the outcome. Anyway, so today we want to look at a few church basics. Let's go to Matthew 16, and I want to begin in verse 15 this morning, because, you know, in Matthew 16, 18 is the first mention of the word church in the Bible. Jesus mentioned the church before the church existed. Jesus had a plan for His church. We'll define what the church is this morning, and this will also help us to consider what's going on. You can read the surrounding context here, but I'm going to come right to the point that Jesus did. And who is He talking to here? He was talking to the foot in the mouth man, who I really like, Peter. Peter didn't have everything right. Peter got things more right as he lived and walked with Christ. That's how it should be for us. If you're 80 years old here today, you should be more spiritually mature than you were when you got saved, okay? Or when you were 20, if you were saved at 20. That's what Jesus wants for us. But Jesus came right to the point here with Peter, and He says, Peter, who do you say that I am? Not what everyone else says. You see it there in 15, He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And who's the first one to jack his jaws? Peter. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ. Christ means God's anointed. God's anointed Messiah. Messiah means deliverer. Jesus, You're the one. You're the one that's been prophesied in Old Testament scriptures. You're it. You're Him. He says, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You see, this is also a component in our salvation. We have to believe that Jesus indeed is God in the flesh, that He's God's anointed one, and that He's the Messiah sent to deliver me and you. And that's a key component, that He is not only God, but He is the Son of God. And that is His position. Jesus is the Son of God. He's also God, but He's the Son of God specifically. Came to earth as fully man, but fully God. Okay, we've covered that before. If you have questions about this, didn't I say we're going to do an open forum? Someday on a Sunday morning, probably not next week, but if we'll see, open forum, you can bring up any question you want. And by the way, if you have a question during our time, I take a few brief questions. We can talk about it, or talk to me later. And there is a suggestion box out there, but I haven't looked in it for a year, because I'm afraid of what I might find. You never know, Woodrow, down here, what could happen. But I will preach on some suggested messages if you put them in the box. But I haven't. That hasn't been lately. Okay, other things have been on my heart. Anyway, you're the Son of the living God. You're God's anointed. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. By the way, folks, I believe this is where Peter was saved. Peter was not refined yet, like a lot of us, and I am not refined in our walk with Jesus. I was saved when I was 7. I truly believe that. I trusted in Jesus Christ. But my walk hasn't always, and neither was Peter's. But Peter was starting, he says, You're Him. I believe that's you. By faith. He believed that he was sent. And you can see in Peter's life, Peter didn't get it all right. He probably never did, but he grew. He changed. He was transformed because he became a child of God by faith. He trusted Him, not by any works or any other stuff, but just simply trusting Him. That's the message of the Bible. It's not religion. It's basic stuff. Jesus does not make it hard for people to be saved. People make it hard to be saved at the behest of Satan. Okay. Anyway, And Jesus answered and said, I read that. Verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter. By the way, Peter's name. I'm going to get in trouble. This might be a three-week message. Peter, what's it mean? Petros, the little rock. Stony. I think Jesus called him Peter. His name was really Simon, but his surname was Peter. I think he was the original Rocky. Oh, lighten up, folks. I think Jesus had that kind of a relationship with his disciples, with his followers. He probably called him Stony or Rocky. Come on, Rocky, get out of trouble. Follow me. And then Jesus says, and upon this rock, and where they were at, it's believed by people that have investigated these locations, is they were at a place called Petra. Peter was Petros, that's Greek for little stone. They're by these red cliffs here, southeast of Jerusalem, massive cliffs, and Jesus either said this, he said, what did he say here? But upon this rock, or a massive rock, or Jesus may have pointed to himself and said, upon this rock, that's Petra, okay, I will what? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So, in our few moments this morning to get started, here's the first point if you want to jot this down. And if you need copies of this, I'll be glad to give it to you. What does the word church describe that we see in Matthew 16, 15 through 19 in our text that we just looked at that? Again, it is the first mention directly of that word. Well, in the Greek, it's the word ekklesia, E-K-K. That's not how it is, that's in English. Ekklesia, and here's what the church means. It's meant to represent the called out ones. The church, in and of itself, intimately, is about the believers who have trusted Jesus Christ. Okay, that's what the local church, and we'll talk about that too in a minute. The local church is made up of believers, and we'll define that further in just a minute. It's the called out ones, the ones who God has called him to be saved. Folks, this morning, as you hear this, if the Lord is saying, you know what, I need a remedy for my unforgiven sins before God, because they are going to stop me from going to his presence in heaven, and they will end up sending me to the lake of fire. If I need that help today, call out, because he has called you to be saved, all right? It's that simple. And so that is the primary name for the church, the believers, those who have been called out, the ecclesia. The church is also known with a couple other things here. It's known as the assembly. What's an assembly? I don't know how it is. I haven't been in an assembly at the school. Well, I was one day at L&M when I was teaching there, but what I think back to is when at Wilton we would have a guest speaker or a presenter that came to school, and we called it an... The whole school got together. That's what the church meeting is. It's the assembly. It's when all the believers that are able or should be able come to get together. Why? I asked Sharon to forgive me this morning. My wife led me astray. I said, I haven't seen Sharon. I wonder if she's all right. I ought to call her. Kim said, no, she's with her children. Well, that's no fault of Kim's. That's my fault. But I was concerned because I hadn't seen Sharon. By the way, I get concerned when I don't see people because I'm worried what's wrong, you know. And usually, I call people after a while and say, "How you okay? If you're mad, you better get glad," things like that. We should be missing one another. See, we should be looking for one another. What's crazy old Pastor John up to now? Usually I'm expected to be here. So, you've heard that joke before, so I won't use it again. Well, maybe I will. Husband and wife are in bed early on a Sunday morning. The husband says, you know what, I don't feel like going to church today. And the wife says, you ought to go to church today. And the husband says, you know, I just don't want to go. And I'll keep this short, and you know the rest of it. The wife says, but you're the pastor. Anyway, ecclesia, the call out ones, the assembly, the fellowship. Pretty soon we're going to have koinonia here around this table. Koinonia in the Greek is a word for fellowship. It means we ought to love one another. Folks, I said this to someone this week. I think we struggle with love for each other here at Fruitland. We don't all see things alike. But I want to tell some things we have to see alike. But you know, I do love you folks. But as I said in the class this morning, there's times I don't always... I love my wife, but there may be times I don't... Whoa. Divine, you're going to get us derailed here on our message. We'll talk about that another time. I'll tell you what, I want to invite you to Sunday school. Wherever class you go to, young or old, there's good stuff. And you agree with that? Brenda, give it a plug. Yeah. We can talk about any issue, and you'll wonder why I don't wear a wedding ring, nor does Kim. Well, you know, you'll want to know now, because Devon did it. I lost mine about 2 months or so after I got it, when we got married. Why am I even going into this? We were invited to my aunt and uncle's for dinner one day. We took the old 1950 International, which I still have. I want to get it out. And the thing wouldn't start, and we went to go. And I discovered later my ring's gone. Looked all over that truck, all over the ground. People have used metal detectors, can't find it. Kim's diamond wedding ring, she had it for a while, but it came up missing 25 years ago or more. And it's somewhere on the farm, but the kids got a hold of it and buried it in a treasure box. I told the class this morning, and I'm not a big jewelry person. You know, that's just not who I am, and it's somewhat dangerous in the things I do. I mean, I've offered Kim a barbed wire ring, a baling wire ring. She turned me down. Seriously, you should wear rings if that's how you're led, but that symbolizes the unbroken love of husband and wife in the love of Christ. Anyway, Devon asked the question. I guess we had open forum today. Some of you may be able... I'll give you a reward if you can find that Kim's diamond. It's out there somewhere. They've looked for it. Yeah. See, Brenda, the truth is that shows what poor parents we were. I'll tell you, the Brown kids, they had adventures every day on that farm. And there's days I came home, they're swinging out of the haymow doors, you know, which I told them, don't do that, you know. It's been pretty much controlled chaos. And it still is to an extent. Yeah. So, yeah. Well, we could talk about that, but that's not why we're here today. Well, it can be, but anyway... It's the gathering. And what church, what ecclesia implies is that it is the saved people, the born again, the blood-bought believers. I ask you today, are you a part of the church? Okay, in general, and I'll explain that here in just a minute. With that said, there's two classifications. Two classifications of the church, both with the same language, same terminology, but used differently. The one that we see here in Matthew 16:18 is... And I do have one more thing to say in this, and then we'll go to communion. And then we'll come back next week if the Lord allows it. Now, what was I going to say? Oh, first of all, what I was just talking about and what is listed here with the same word in Matthew 16:18 is what is known as the universal church. Now, here's what, by the way, and it is the Catholic Church. It is not the Roman Catholic Church. Catholic means universal. Universal, and let me just read it because it's easier than me stumbling through this, what I wrote. The universal church is the body of all believers in the church age for all time that is not visible, only to God. We can see some of that here today with each other, but I don't know what's going on, let's say today in Chicago in a church, or in Paris, or in Tehran. Or other countries where the gospel is opposed, but where people are meeting, two or more are gathered in Jesus' name, it is part of the universal church that are believers. We can't know all those people. Jesus knows every one of those people for all time. It's the invisible body, and it's known only to Christ, and its count is only known to Christ at this time. But there will be a day when we're all gathered in heaven for eternity that we'll know all the members of the universal church, the body of Christ. The second thing is the local church, and that's what Fruitland is. That's where things get tough, see, when we have to work with each other. But this is the local church. This is a finite group that could be larger or smaller, but this is a visible group of believers here that's gathered. At least, I'm not saying everyone here is a believer. If you aren't, you know that's the message. You need Jesus. But the core of Fruitland Baptist Church, at least theoretically, is that there is a group of believers here who place this as a priority in their walk with Jesus Christ and their outreach to others. But here's the technical definition on that. The local church is the visible gathering in a specific place, like here at Fruitland, of born-again believers that are baptized, and we'll talk about that as we go through this, immersed, in other words, as identification with Jesus Christ. A public identification where they said, you know what? Jesus has saved me, and I am going to give a public sign in water baptism that I am his, that his death, burial, and resurrection has been applied to my life. That's what that's about. It's kind of like, I don't know, Alicia, you know more about TDK than I do, but I assume there has to be something that it identifies you as being able to participate there. Is that true? Yeah. So if I show up in my farm clothes, they're going to say, keep that thought in mind. But they are gathered and identified through water baptism publicly for fellowship and fulfillment of Christ's great commission and to fulfill Christ's desire that we should be the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, we're out of time for today, but we'll come back at that point. I'm going to describe to you from Scripture, again, what Jesus has ordained his church to be. And sadly, we don't have more time. But the fact of the matter is, these texts and many more that we find in Scripture will describe how the church is set to function and how it's set to thrive. And we'll look at that, but I'll close today with this. 1 Timothy 3:15, Paul was telling Timothy that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And that is the foundational, whether it be the universal church or the local church. The church is established and grounded and operates on the truths of the Word of God. It must stand for the truth. Folks, I have to tell you the way it is. If churches only stand for part of the truth, they are disobedient. And in some cases, I would even say they are not even churches. Okay? But that's the first point that we'll look at next week when we come back. We'll thoroughly investigate this. And our response and priority of the local church in our lives. I love you. Thanks for being such a good audience. I'd like to finish this whole message. When you get someone that's a better speaker, they'll have this done in 20 minutes. All three pages. I believe it with all my heart. But until that time, deacons, come on up. And let's prepare our hearts now again to consider the body and blood of Christ and our salvation. But let me say this as I close. Today is another day that's rapidly passing from us. If you're here today and you know in your heart you have never received Christ as your Savior, the communion won't allow you to receive Christ. It's evidence of the reception of Him already. But today, just like Peter, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him know you need Him because of your sin. And the Bible says, you will be saved. You will be rescued. It's that simple message. I want you to know today, God loves you. I love you. I care about you. If you have a question, either myself or others here can explain that to you. Today is the day to be rescued by Jesus and to be made into a new person, to be born again into the fellowship, once again, of fellow believers known as the church. Thank you so much. Now, I'll get down here. Oh, I messed up here, folks. Forgive me. We need to sing here briefly before we get ready. We're going to sing one verse today of what on earth should we be doing as we prepare, the deacons and I prepare here to distribute the elements. That's page 659 in our hymnal, 659. Take some time as we prepare now to prepare your hearts again as we fellowship at the Lord's table. Today, as we do on a regular basis here at Fruitland, we've chosen once a month as a time to, as the church, remember what Jesus has done for us in his work on Calvary's cross. This isn't something that we just have come up with. This is something that Jesus instituted before he went to the cross with his disciples when they were in the upper room. Jesus said, you know, I want you to remember me. By the way, I talked to someone this week about this. How long will people remember you? The truth is, not very long. Even famous people, time moves quickly. People forget. We should never forget about Jesus. He should be on our hearts every day if we're believers. He will not be forgotten, folks, unless people choose to forget him. Right? But Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And he instituted that in the upper room. By the way, he did not cut pieces out of his body and say, if you eat part of my body, you'll be saved. If you drink my blood, he did not drain his blood at the table. He used representations for that. Bread. Jesus is the bread of life. And Jesus broke that bread and said, this is representative of my body. Do this in remembrance of me. Same way with the cup. They drank from the fruit of the vine. He said, this is a representation, an icon that reminds you of my blood. So I want you to know that today, these elements cannot save us. They will not save you. But these elements are for believers to be reminded of what Jesus has done. Now, the other criteria before we go into this that's found in 1 Corinthians 11. Paul chastised the Corinthian church. He said, don't do these things unworthily. Kim and I had a discussion about that here, I think, was it yesterday? What this amounts to for us today is, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, don't do this. Because what Paul says later in his letter there, he says, it will bring condemnation upon you. In other words, if you think this is going to help you, it's not. It's going to condemn you because you've taken it unworthily. The other thing is, in a basic sense, if you have things that you are struggling with the Lord today, sin maybe that you've not confessed, maybe sin with another believer, it's a better time to set that straight than to receive it unworthily, because Jesus forgave us in the cross, and we need to consider that as well when we remember him today. So anyway, today, as usually, I'm going to take the rendition that Paul gives us found in 1 Corinthians 11. But that's what this was all about. It's the word koinonia that I said earlier. This is about fellowship with the Lord and one another. And as I said today, don't be embarrassed. There's no communion police. I'm not watching. No one else is. This is between you and the Lord. Keep it that way. But if you're a believer and you again are walking in fellowship with the Lord and one another, Jesus wants us to do this. And if you're not today, Jesus wants you to be saved. Bottom line. Anyway, here's what Paul recorded here that took place under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the upper room that night. Paul says, for I have received of the Lord that which I also declared unto you, or delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. By the way, who was present that night? Judas. Judas, who betrayed Jesus. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, symbolizing again that his body would be broken for our sins. And so as we begin today to remember what Jesus did on the cross at Calvary, I'm going to ask Lonnie if he'd thank our Heavenly Father for sacrificing his precious son and Jesus voluntarily giving his life to be bruised with all sin for all time on Calvary's cross that really should have been accounted to us. Lonnie?
Precious Father, thank you that you sent your son to be sacrificed for us, Lord. Thank you that you made a way for us through Jesus Christ. Thank you that he came willingly, Lord, for you, to honor you in what he was going to do. The brutal beatings, Lord, the cross that he was crucified upon. Thank you, Lord, for what he did for us. But, Lord, most of all, he had victory over the cross, victory over the sin. He's risen, Lord.
Yeah.
And today we have a risen Savior alive. Thank you, Lord, that we can partake of these elements, remembering what he did for us. And ultimately his love for us, Lord, so that we could be with you one day. Help us, Lord, to consider these things. And, Lord, to search our hearts before we do. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Examine ourselves, Lord. Help us to remember the sin that This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink in remembrance of me.